Maktab Afera,
which was written by a Talmud of the Rush who lived in Spain, then moved to Cairo, then moved to Yerushalayim. And there were a lot of Rishonim who moved to Eretz Yisrael at that time, a group there were in earlier generations also. And he writes, his name is Histori HaParchi. I'm not sure exactly what the name means. Histori HaParchi. And there are many different editions of this Sefer. He writes over all of the dinim of Eretz Yisrael. He spends a lot of time trying to work out what the gvulas of Eretz Yisrael are, what the laws of Shemitah, the laws of Chumas and Maisus, the laws of Rip and Kriya when you visit the Kais Lamarabi, and so on and so forth. And in the middle of the work, he mentions that in an earlier generation, he heard, he wasn't around, he heard that there was Rabbeinu Hananel who came from Paris. I don't think they know exactly who this corresponds to, Rabbeinu Hananel from Paris, who was interested in making a mizbech and bringing korbanos in Yerushalayim, and it didn't work out. And he writes, he doesn't understand, how can he bring korbanos? Everybody's tummy. So I think as he's writing the book, another 20 chapters later, I think he refers to it three times. So I think about 20, 25 chapters later, each chapter is a short page or two. 20 chapters later, he wakes up and he says, oh, the Gemara has it in that a korban sibur may be brought in the state of Tumah. That's probably what he was referring to bring korbanos sibur. Others have pointed out, there was a young man who just got engaged from yeshiva. His name is Sova, from Chicago. So his great-grandfather wrote a sefer. His great-grandfather was a very close friend of the Chafetz Chaim. And he refers in his sefer to his friend, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Sheyichya, the Chafetz Chaim Shlita. You have his picture here in the book, like a real European rabbi. He wrote this tiny little sefer. It's really half this size because somebody added footnotes that take up half of the page over here. Somebody recent in America added footnotes. Whoever's interested can get the book free of charge. Someone's giving it out for nothing. If you're interested, very Karnas HaMizbech. So he wrote this little kuntris. The Chafetz Chaim has a commentary. The Chafetz Chaim wrote an imitation riff on Seder Kodshim. We only have the riff on those mesichtes, on Brachis, on Shabbos, on Erev, on Nida, on Balakamah, on Mitzvah, all the Mesichtas and Negev LaHalacha. On Kochim, we have Gemaras, but the Rif didn't write anything. It's not Negev LaHalacha. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote what's called Likutei Halachas, and he has his commentary on the bottom of the page in Zevach Toida, the Chafetz Chaim's commentary. So this Rabbi Sova, who was a good friend of the Chafetz Chaim, wrote this little kuntris to take care of the six issues that the Chafetz Chaim was concerned about. Why the Chafetz Chaim thought that we cannot bring korbanos bizman hazeh. So one of the issues that posed the problem was whether the Mokam HaMikdash has Kedusha or not. Apparently this Kaft of Aferach, Rabbi Story HaParchi, quoting the Rabbi Nachananel from Paris, wasn't worried about that. They followed the Rambam, and the Rambam says that in Perek Vav in Hilchas Beis HaBchira, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon, he endowed the Mokum with Kedusha, and the Mokum was Kitchel Ozi Lavoi, and it retains the Kedusha even though it went through a Churban Bais Rishon, the Churban Bais Sheni, the Kedusha remained. In the Gemara, this is really a Machlokes HaTanoim, and it's a Machlokes HaMaroyim, which opinion should be accepted, and it's a Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid over there disagrees with the Rambam in Perek Vav and Hilchas Beis HaBchira, and he thinks that it was Loikich Alasi Lova. He thinks that when Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadosh the first Beis HaMikdosh, it lost its Kedusha at the time of Churban Beis Rishon. When Ezra was Mekadosh the second, Ezra and Nehemiah, when they built the second Beis HaMikdosh, Ezra came in the middle, and they completed the building of the second Beis HaMikdosh, that Kedusha was also undone at the time of the Churban Beis Sheni. And Lasi Lovoi, the Makam HaMikdosh, the Beis HaMikdosh will be rebuilt, and then it will be endowed with even a greater Kedusha than the first Beis HaMikdosh had. The Ravid is implying that if the Rambam would be right, that Kitcha Lasi Lovoi, the Kedusha is still there from the days of Shlomo HaMelech, then the Kedusha won't be enhanced when we'll build the third Beis HaMikdosh. The Makam is Kitcha Lasi Lovoi, whatever degree Kedusha had in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, it'll retain, it won't be greater. So the Ravid says, no, it can't be. The Kedusha was lost, and when we're going to rebuild it, then we'll endow the Makam with Kedusha again, and then the Kedusha will exceed the Kedusha that it had the first time and the second time around. So today, we assume that this is a Sveika Dedina. We don't have any Hakra. The Mishnah Brura writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that no one is permitted to walk onto the Har Bais. According to the Ravid writes that the Ravid claims that the Makom HaMikdash has no Kedusha today, not like the Rambam. The Rambam says the Makom HaMikdash has Kedusha, so if an Odom Tomei goes on the Makom HaMikdash, he's over on an Issa Koris. If you walk on the Azara, if you walk on the Har Bais, it's an Issa, but there's no Issa Koris. You walk on the Makom Azara, there's an Issa Koris. So the Ravid is masig on the Rambam in Perek Vav and Beis Abchir, and he says, I don't think that it has Kedusha, and the burden of proof is on the Rambam. That the Rambam thinks that it has Kedusha and that you have an Oynish Kares. He says, all of Harayah, let him prove that it's so. He doesn't think that it's correct. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, both in the Likuti Halochis, that's his imitation riff on Seder Kochim, and in the Mishnah Berurah towards the end of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, he writes that we treat it as a Sveika Dedina. If it would be a Sveika Dedina, Rav Chananel, whoever that was from Paris, and the Kafta Vefer, they couldn't talk about just the building of Mizbech and bringing Karbonas. If the Mokum doesn't have Kedusha, you have to do a little more than that. So they were following the Rambam's opinion that it has Kedusha. As far as we're concerned today, we don't have any Hakra on that. So we really consider it Sveika Dedina, whether the Mokum has Kedusha or not. So if the Mokum doesn't have Kedusha, so there's nothing to discuss. So in the mid-1800s, there was a prominent rabbi who was a student of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger lived in Germany. Rabbi Akiva Eger had a daughter who married the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer's first wife died, and he married the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Then she died, and he married a third time, a third wife, one after the other. So Rabbi Akiva Eger's daughter was the second wife of the Chassam Sofer. It's interesting to note, Rabbi Akiva Eger was only 1 year older than the Chassam Sofer, and he died a year before the Chassam Sofer. They lived the same age. He was 1 year older than his son-in-law. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger had many students. So one of his many students was Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Kalischer. Zvi Hirsch Kalischer is famous for his Zionist activities. Tirat Zvi, Kibbutz Tirat Zvi, in the north of Herzl, is named after Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Kalischer. So Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Kalischer is, he has comments that are printed on the bottom of the page in the Yeridaya. Tzvi Latzadik, it's called. And he's famous for his sefer that's called Rishas Tzion. He wrote an open letter to Baron Rothschild, encouraging him that he should put up money to build the Beis HaMikdash and we should bring Karbonas. And it may turn out that you'll be the Melech HaMashiach. He always offered people, well, hang up a sign here, hang up the sign. Beis HaMikdash was donated by somebody, whatever. So he offered him, the offer that he gave him was, it may turn out that you'll become the Melech HaMashiach, if you'll be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. Because the Rambam says, the one who will be instrumental in building Beis HaMikdash, will, the Melech HaMashiach will be involved in building Beis HaMikdash. So he says, it may turn out that you'll be the Melech HaMashiach. Okay. That's a little bit humorous. I don't think Baron Rothschild claimed to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. And Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer proceeds to remove all of the obstacles towards bringing Karbonas Bizman Hazeh. So regarding this issue of Kitcha Losi Lovoi, if the Makom HaMikdash doesn't have Kedusha, so you can't bring any Karbonas over there. So Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer says, no, you can bring Karbonas Bizman Hazeh. If the Rambam is right that the Makom HaMikdash retains its Kedusha, so you just have to make a Mizbeach, and you're in business, and you bring Karbonas. If the Makom HaMikdash doesn't have Kedusha, then he says, the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that there's a Het of Bamas. Bizman She Beis HaMikdash Kayom, there's an Isa Bamas. Bizman She Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayom, there was no Isa Bamas, so you can make a Bamas. So you can make a Mizbeach on the Makom HaMikdash, and you can be Makar Karbonas Mimonam Shach. That's Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's Einfall. That was his original idea. What's the Mimonam Shach? If the Rambam is right, that the Mokam has Kedusha, so this is the Mokam HaMikdosh, and this is the correct Mizbech of the Beis HaMikdosh. If the Mokam does not have Kedusha, the Mizbech will be Abamas Yochid. Many years later, almost 100 years after Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer published his Sefer Drisha Sim, it was reprinted recently in Eretz Yisrael about 40 years ago, on glossy paper with pictures and with footnotes and with all the marmakaimas. The original edition is wasn't such a good job. And now it's fancy, it's easier to read. The paper is nicer, the printing is nicer. So almost 100 years after Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote his Sefer, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the big Pesach in Yerushalayim, right before, right after Hakamas HaMedina, he was under Rav Kook, he was in Rav Kook's Bezin. He published his Shabbos HaTshuvos, Har Tzvi, Chelek Yerideya. So the end of Chelek Yerideya, he has a long kuntris on the possibility of bringing Karbonis Bezman HaZeh. And then there were so many Heoris that were added. People were corresponding with him and arguing with him, so he published it in a separate sefer that's called Migdash Melech, and even has footnotes by his granddaughter's husband, who was a big dayan in Yerushalayim. So now it's no longer printed in the end of the Chelek Yerideya, the Mafteach that they have for all the tshuvas in Har Tzvi. Chelek Yerideya includes Mar Mekaymus for that kuntshus, but they left it out. They no longer reprinted in the end of Chelek Yerideya because it exists now as a separate sefer, Migdash Melech. So he points out that this Mimanavshach of Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher is not to be understood. What do you mean Mimanavshach? The Tosfos there in Megillah Daf Yud and Aleph writes that most of the Gemaras seem to contradict this Gemara Megillah. Most of the Gemaras appear to say that even if one should assume that the Makam HaMikdash was Lo Kitcha Lo Si Lava, there is no Het HaBomas. Once Yerushalayim was chosen, once there was the Bechiras Makam, once Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, that was the end of Het HaBomas. Even if you hold Lo Kitcha Lo Si Lava. And even if one should assume that yes, that there is a Het HaBomas, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes a Sifrei on the Pasuk, L'sita Lo Chalshera Kaleitz. Sitel Chasher means you're not allowed to plant trees in the Azara. So the Sifrei is marba from the Pasuk. Not only is it prohibited to build trees, it's prohibited to make a bama in the Azara. So he said that's what it means. If you don't have Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, you can make a bama. So if there's a Het HaBamas, you can make a bama somewhere else, but you can make a bama in the Azara. The Het HaBamas doesn't apply in the Azara.
That's not a function of Kedushas. That's bad because that is not a function of Kedushas Mikdash on itself. But not because of his Kedushas Mikdash, he can make a bama in the Azara.
He assumes that not.
Can we say that Tosefta is according to his one down?
Sifrei. Could be, it's unclear. But he thinks that the Sifrei seems to darshan from the Pasuk that there's a separate Issa Bamas in the Azara. Even if you hold that Lo Kitcha Lo Si Lava, if you hold Lo Kitcha Lo Si Lava, let's say today, I mean if Lo Kitcha Lo Si Lava should be mutter to plant trees in the Azara, that could be. Okay, that's a good question. So he suggests that maybe it's also to make a Bama, it's mutter to make a Bama somewhere else, but not in the Azara. That's the issue that he raises. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the very last essay that's in his Sefer Mincha Shlomo on Chelek Yerideya, he has only one page where he writes briefly about this topic. So he says he doesn't understand either the Mimanavshach of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. That what if you hold Kitcha Lo Si Lava, then you can make a Mizbech and Makor Kabbonis on the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. If you all like it, Shalasi Lava, you can make a Bama. The same Mizbech will be declared as a Bama. So he says, just a minute. Everybody's tummy today. So in the Sefer Kaftel HaPerach, he raised an issue. How can Rabbeinu Hanano from Paris, how can he think in the first place that you're going to be Makor Karbonis in the state of Tumah? So the answer apparently is that he was planning to bring Karbonis Tzibur, the minimum Musafim, or Korban Pesach, things that you're permitted to bring in a state of Tumah. So that only works if you hold Kitcha Lo Si Lava, because the Gemara says in Temura that the din is that a Korban Tzibur is Mutta B'Tumah, and a Korban Yochid is not Mutta B'Tumah. It's not really a function of whether it's a Korban Yochid or a Korban Tzibur. It really depends, is it a Korban Shezman Kavua or is it a Korban Shein Zman Kavua? 95% of the Karbanos Tzibur, 98% of the Karbanos Tzibur are Zmanam Kavua. And Ruba de Ruba, 90% of the Karbanos Yochid are not Zmanam Kavua. I don't have to bring it today, I can bring it tomorrow, I can bring it next week. So the Mishnah says in Tmura, the beginning of the second parak, that what's Decha Shabbos and what's Decha Tumah, Karbanos Tzibur are Decha Shabbos, Karbanos Tzibur are Decha Tumah, doesn't really depend on whether it's a Karban Tzibur or a Karban Yochid. It depends on whether it's a korban shezmanu kavua or korban shein zmanu kavua. So, if you hold that this kitcha lo si lava, so the makam of the Beis HaMikdash has kedushas, tameim are not permitted to enter there. So how can everybody today's tummy? So how can you allow a tummy to go in to be makor kabbonis? So the answer is, it's going to be makor kabbonis shezmanu kavua. But if you, so the Rabbeinu Hanan al Paris and the Kafta Vaferch, they assume like the Rambam has Kedushin. Well, we hold that it's a Sveika Adina today. That's how the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Brura and in the Kuti Alochas. We assume it's a Sveika Adina, whether the Makam HaMikdash is Kitchel Osilov or not. So on the Tzad, that it's like Kitchel Osilov, so Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosha wanted, we should build that Mizbech and declare it as a Bama. So on a Bama, you can't bring Karbanas Tzibur. You can only bring Karbanas Yachid. So what Karbanas is he talking about? What Karbanas is he talking about bringing over here? Unless you bring a carbon oila and bring it ala tanai, you say if the that's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests, you'll bring a carbon oila and you say ala tanai, if this is the Beis Hamikdash Kos Kitchelosi Lavoi, let this be the carbon oila satomic, and you bring it on the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash in the state of Tumah, and if we should assume that it's lo Kitchelosi Lavoi, so let this be a boma. And as a bama, I'm bringing this as a carbon yachid. You can only bring carbonus yachid on a bama. You can't bring carbonus tibur on a bama. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in the last test in Chelek Yerideh, what are you talking about? You're going to bring a carbon ala tanai. Either it's, Taisus talks about such a possibility, bringing a carbon ala tanai. The famous Taisus in Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says that once nishtahu edim ilohava, the edim didn't come on time in the Beis Hamikdash on Rosh Chodesh to say that they saw the Levana. So the Taisus has a discussion. The Gemara says there was a problem with Shir Shal Yom to say. On Rosh Chodesh you say a different Shir Shal Yom from the regular weekday. So Taisus says, why were they only worried about which Shir Shal Yom to say? Why weren't they worried about bringing the Musafim? The Eidim didn't come till after the Korban Tomim Shabbat Abayim was brought. After Tom Shabbat Abayim, you can't bring the Musafim. So why doesn't the Mishnah say that there was an issue of bringing the Musafim? So Taisus suggests maybe they brought the Korbanos ala Tanai. If today will turn out not to be Rosh Chodesh, then we're bringing this Korban as a Oila Satomit Shal Bein Abayim. If today turns out to be Rosh Chodesh, this Oila that we're bringing should be one of the Oilas of the Musafim. On Rosh Chodesh you bring 11 Musafim, you bring 10 Oilas and one Chatos, Oila Chatos. So Taisus says they brought ala Tanai, this should either be the Oila Satomit, but there should be an oila from the 11 Musafim. So that's nichid, that's understandable, because neither the Tamid nor the Musafim require smicha. The din is in this week's parsha, in Parshas Vayikra, when you bring a korban yochid, it says the samachas yoda, you have to do smicha b'shtei yadai. In the Chumash it sounds like one hand, but the Mishnah says you have to do smicha b'shtei yadai. So the Mishnah says in Zvachim that smicha only is fulfilled on the korban yochid, on the korban siba, ruba, the ruba, all the tamidim and musafim, you have no smicha. Smicha can only be done by the bala korban. So if the korban is offered on behalf of Klal Yisrael, who's the bala korban? Who's going to come? All the Klal Yisrael is going to come to do smicha on the korban. It's unreasonable. So the Mishnah says, kol korban asat sibur ein behem smicha, except for three. There were three exceptions to the rule. One is the par halam davashol sibur in today's parsha. Another one is the paracha on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does smicha on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Then the Mishnah has a third case also. There are three karbonas atziba only that have smicha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, how can you bring a karbon al hatanai? You'll bring an oila on this mizbech that we'll build, and we'll say either this is the oila satomit, a karbon sibur, or it should be an oila sayochid because it's considered a bama. What do you mean? If it's an oila sayochid, you need smicha. So in Oilas Hatziba, you don't have smicha. So you're not allowed to bring a carbon ala tanai, and you're not sure whether he's supposed to do smicha or not. True, the Gemara says in Gittin and many other places, in the second parak in Gittin, that smicha on a carbon is not mi'akev, but the Gemara is beferish in Gittin, Dav Chav Ches, it's not permissible, it's not proper, l'chatchila to bring a carbon, knowing in advance that you may be mevatel mitzvah smicha. Maybe a carbon that needs smicha, and you're not doing smicha. So that's not right. Unless you'll say, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, unless you'll say a korban noshim doesn't have smicha, only a korban from a man. Unless you say that they'll bring the korban oila ala tanai, either this is the oilas hatomid, either this is a bona fide mizbech at the Beis Hamikdash, this is an oilas hatomid, or this is an oila of an isha. So an oilas noshim, korban noshim doesn't have smicha. So someone should have said that. It's a lot missing. Then he points out also, the whole thing doesn't make sense. The halacha that a Everybody's telling me today, so the halacha that says that you're permitted to bring a korban in the state of Tumah is only if it's a korban shezmano kavua. So we're going to bring an oila ala tanai. Either this is the mizbeach, this is a beis hamikdash, this is the bona fide mizbeach, and this is the oila stomid. Okay, an oila stomid is mano kavua, so that's decha tumah. Or we're going to declare, or maybe it's only a bama, and it's really an oila snidova of a woman, of a yochid, which doesn't need smicha. Okay, so then how can you bring it in the state of tumah? It's not zmano kavua. It doesn't have to be brought today. It can be brought tomorrow. It can be brought next week. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's Tanya. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. But these are part of the issues that were brought up. Another issue was brought up that the halacha says the Rambam's Loshen and Hilchas Beis Abchiris Makom Hamizbech B'Chuvan B'Yoseh. The location of where the Mizbech is supposed to be is a precise location. And he writes historically that was the place where Adam Rishon brought a korban. And the Chumash never says Adam Rishon brought a korban, but the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and the Midrashim say like that. The seat of Hashem is Shor Par, that refers to the korban that's passing in Tilim. The seat of Hashem, you will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Shor Par, more so than the korban that Adam Rishon brought. So the Rambam writes that we have a historical tradition that the Makam HaMizbech in the Azara is the place where Adam Rishon brought his korban. That's where Hevel brought his korban. That's where Akedas Yitzchak was. That's when Noach brought the korbanos after the Mabul. The Teva landed Horei Ararat. We assume Horei Ararat are somewhere in Turkey. But the Gemara has a tradition that and then it says after the Mabul, Noach brought korbanos. So the Rambam quotes the Midrashim, the tradition has it that the location where he brought the korbanos was not in Turkey. He went to the Makam HaMizbeach, where Adam Rishon brought the korbanos, and where Hevel brought the korbanos, and where the Akedas Yitzchak occurred. So you can't just build the Mizbech wherever you please in the Azor. It has to be in the Makam Mechuvan. So how do we know exactly how to figure out? We know where the Kosel HaMaravi is, and we know what the Kosel HaMaravi is. We know what the Kosel HaMaravi is. Years ago, there was a Ridvaz. The Ridvaz was a rabbi in Slutsk in Europe, and then he came to America. He used to give hashgachas on the slaughterhouses. Then he didn't like America and went to Eretz Yisrael. He was a bar plukta of Rav Kook. He disagreed with Rav Kook on a few basic issues. So the Ridvaz was a Talmud of the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, the father of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So the Ridvaz wrote in one of his tshuvas that we all know that the Kosel HaMaravi is the Kosel of the Azara. So the Brisker Achoshish for the Ridvaz, all the archaeologists say it's absolutely dead wrong. We all know that the Kosel HaMaravi is the Kosel of the Harabais, it's not the Kosel of the Azara. It's totally different Kosel. So the Brisker in Eretz Yisrael, Achoshish, because the Ridvaz learned by the Beis Halevi, so whatever he said is holy. And even if he made a mistake, you have to be concerned about that possibility. And the Pashtus made a mistake. So we all know the Kosel of the Kosel HaMaravi is the Kosel of the Harabais. So we know exactly where everything was, so you can measure how many Amos it was. The Mishnahs tell you how many Amos were there from the Kosel HaMaravi till the Mizbech. The only thing is we're not so sure how long the Amos are. There are different opinions. Machlokes is the Chazon Ish, Avraham Chaim Noach, Kayodua. They had machlokes in about all the different shurim, about Kazais and Revias and Tefach and Amma and everything. We're not sure exactly. So that's going to be a problem also. You cannot bring Korban, if you want to build the Mizbech in the Azara, you cannot just build the Mizbech wherever you darn please. It has to be Dafke and the Mokam HaMizbech. So that's what this Rav Sova points out. That's not really a problem. The Mizbech and the Baisheni was 32 Amos by 32 Amos on the ground. Then it went up a little bit, then it indented and it shrank it and became 30 by 30. Then it went up and indented it. On the top of the Mizbech was 28 by 28 Amos. But on the floor, it was 32 by 32. The din doesn't require that. I mean, the Mizbeach always has to be 32 by 32. You can make a Mizbeach that has a small size of Amo Alamo. The Amo Alamo can be anywhere within that 32 by 32. So that for sure you can do. You can figure out approximately where the 32 by 32 were, and you can figure out an Amo where for sure it's the Makam HaMizbeach. Unless you're going to be concerned about what the Ritva said, that the Kosel Marav is the Kosel of the Azara, so then it throws everything off. We don't follow the Ridvaz. We know that it's the Kosel of the Harabais. So that problem has a solution. The Makam HaMizbech is Mechuban. We won't make a Mizbech 32 by 32. We make a Mizbech Amo Alamo. And let's say the old Mizbech was somewhere over here. Our Amo Alamo will be either here or here. It'll be somewhere within the 32 by 32. And then we will be safe. Another problem that was brought up, another issue that was brought up by Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher in his Sefer Drishas Tzion, this is very important, was that the Psukim say in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, there are 24 Svarim in the Tanakh. So in the Christian Bible, the Christians took hold of the Bible. So they broke up Ezra and Nehemiah into two Svarim. They broke up Shmuel Al, Shmuel Beis, Melachim Malach, Melachim Beis, Dira Yama Malach, Dira Yama Beis. According to our Bible, in the Jewish Bible, Shmuel is one Sefer, Melachim is one Sefer, Dira Yama is one Sefer, and Ezra and Nehemiah is one Sefer. Otherwise, you have, instead of Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKadosh, you have 28 Kisvei HaKadosh, only 24. So in the Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, it's one Sefer. So it says, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, and there were many Kohanim who were around who wanted to bring Korbanos, so Ezra told them, show me your Ksav Yichas. We will only permit you to be Makar Korbanos if you're Koyim Miyuchas. Just because you lived in Bavel with your family for the last 70 years, and you duchened, and your father duchened, and your grandfather duchened, and you were careful not to marry grushas, and you got the first aliyah, and you acted like a kohen, that's called Kohani Chazoke. Kohani Chazoke are not permitted to be makar korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be dafke kohanim miyuchos. So in the days of, in the pasuk it says, Bikshu ksavim hamsiachzu v'lo matzol, they couldn't, those who couldn't find the ksav yichas, nugo'alu min hakuhuna, they were rejected from the kuhuna, they weren't permitted to be makar korbanos. So for many centuries, for the early years in the Achronim, the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, early 1800s, it was assumed that the reason why is because Kohani Chazok HaSofik Kohanim. Only Kohanim Yuchosam Avadei Kohanim. Kohani Chazok HaSofik Kohanim. That's why early Achronim had certain kulas, because we treat the Kohanim as if they're Sofik Kohanim. So b'di'evet, if he married a chalutza is only the Rabbanon, there's room to be mekel, some of the giyoris, maybe only the Rabbanon, some of the Achranim came up with kulas. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher wrote this Sefer Drishas Tzion. This was his open letter to Baron Rothschild to encourage him that he should build the Beis HaMikdash and we should bring Karbanos, make them not, you'll be the Melech HaMashiach. So he raises the issue. In the middle 1800s, there were not enough, there were hardly any Kohanim Yechosim. Today, there aren't so many Kohanim Yechosim to run a Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher came up with a chiddush that the need for Kohanim Yechosim is a chumra midirabbanan that was invented by Ezra. And the only time you have the chumra is when Hechad Efsher, when you can run a Beis HaMikdash with, you have enough Kohanim Yechosim to run a Beis HaMikdash. But Hechad E Efsher, Bizman Hazeh, it's impossible to run a, to bring Korbanos if you're going to insist on Kohanim Yechosim. So the whole chumra midirabbanan doesn't apply. This is his suggestion. He sent the whole Sefer to Rabbi Kiveger, the Drishas Tzion. Rabbi Kiveger was maskim. Rabbi Kiveger sent the whole Sefer to his son-in-law, the Chasam Sefer. He was maskim also. So it's interesting, from that time on, from the middle of the 1800s on until now, we assume, like Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher and like Rabbi Kiveger, that the Kohanim Avadei Kohanim, they're not Safek Kohanim, and that the whole requirement for Kohanim Yechosim to run the Beis HaMikdash, the Mir Karbanos, was only a Chumra Midirabbanan. So his Sefer made a dent in halacha. From that time on, we accept his suggestion. Kohanim Yechosim is only a chumra midirabbanan.
In like the 1600s, 1700s, did Kohanim used to duchen on Yom Tov?
Sure they duchen. They said, Ebracha, Shekidishana, Bikidishosu, Shalaharim. To get the first aliyah, somebody has to get the first aliyah. Right. If I'm not a Kohen, so nobody's got, no one knows. But how can they duchen? How can they say, Ebracha, I'm thinking you're not Ben? Yeah. That's what they, so they all, everybody broke their heads on that. How can it be? What are they saying at Bracha and Duchani? What are they saying at Bracha and Pidyon HaBen if they're only Sofik Kohanim? The answer is the whole thing is a mistake. Kohanim Avadei Kohanim. They're not Sofik Kohanim. Several, there is a Shadus HaTshuvas Binyan Tzion written by Rabbi Yankee Fetlinger. The reason why it's called Binyan Tzion because the first two Tshuvas in the Sefer, now when people print the collection of Shalos HaTshuvos, so they usually put it in order. They put it in order. Or Achayim, Yerideya, Ebenezer, Choshimish, but they put it in the order that the topics appear in the Shulchan Aruch. Then, when people would print the Svarim, so either there was absolutely no order whatsoever, so you had to read the whole table of contents to find anything, or they would put it in the order that they wrote the Tshuvos. The Tshuvos from 1801 come first, 1802 come second, 1803 come next. Totally haphazard. So again, you'd have to read the table of contents. In the Binyan Tzion, the Svarim, the Tshuvas are out of order. He has a Mafteach al Seder Shulchan Aruch, but the Tshuvas are not al Seder Shulchan Aruch. So the first two Tshuvas were letters that he sent. Rabbi Yankee Fetlinger was the one who gave Smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. Rabbi Yankin Ventlinger wrote the Aruch Laner on the Gemara that everybody uses, and the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, the first two Tshuvas were the two letters that he wrote to Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher about his suggestion that we should possibly bring Karbonis Bizman Hazeh. So he says he can't. Even if you hold that Kitcha Lasi Lavoi, the Pasuk says in the Teuchachem B'chukaisei, B'hashim Moses Migdashechem, I will destroy your Beis HaMigdash, B'lo Ariach B'reach Nichochechem. And I will not be interested in smelling the reach of the Karbonis. So Rabbi Yankin Ventlinger asks, once it says V'hashem Moses Migdashechem, there's no Beis HaMigdash, if there's no Beis HaMigdash, of course he can't bring any Karbonis. So he says, no, the Pasuk, the Mishneh Megillah, understands the Pasuk to say that the Makam HaMigdash retained its Kedusha, that its Kitcha Lasi Lovoi, Apilu B'shama Musa Ma'adayin Kedoshim Hein. And despite the fact that the Makam HaMigdash still has Kedusha, and it's very easy, now it's not so easy, you have the Arabs there, if we'll make a Mizbech and bring Karbonis, we'll start a new world war. But in earlier generations, where they didn't have this kind of politics, so it wouldn't be so difficult to build a Mizbech and bring Karbonis. So the Pasuk says, I don't want your Karbonis, don't do me any favors. V'ashimosi es migdusheichem, and despite the fact that Kitcha Lasi Lava still lo yareach v'reach nichoichichem, don't do me any favors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want your Karbonis. So that's what the Binyan Tzion suggests. That's what the Netziv has also. The Netziv is famous for this. He has a long tshuva in his Meshiv Dover, in his collection of Shabbos Tshuvas. He has a long tshuva about Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. He's very machmir, doesn't hold from the head to Mechira. And in the middle of the tshuva, he writes the same as the Binyan Tzion. He doesn't quote it in his name. He writes the same idea that the Pasuk says, Hashemosi es migdushech, Mizman shein beis hamigdush kayom. Even though Kitcha Lasi Lava, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested in smelling any Karbonis. So what did Rabbeinu Hananel from Paris have an Ein Father? He wanted to build a Mizbech and bring Karbonis. So when you read the way it appears in the Kapitel of Ferach, he says he wanted to bring Karbonis, period. So the Netziv and the Binyan Tzion claim, that's not the way it's written in the Kapitel of Ferach, they claim he was only interested in bringing Korban Pesach. Manishtani Korban Pesach. So they have a fascinating comment that in connection with every single korban that's brought, this week we start Parshas Vayikra, connection with every single korban, it says, the Reach Nichoyach Yishal Hashem, except for Korban Pesach. The phrase Reach Nichoyach never appears by Korban Pesach. So they both came up with the same Chiddush, the Binyan, Rabbi Yankin Ventlinger, with the Netziv, and others as well, but these are the two famous who wrote it in their Svarim. That even if you hold the makriv and afal pishein bayis, you're permitted to bring karbanis bizman shein beis hamigdash kayam. But if it's vahashimoisi, if the beis hamigdash is in a state of shmama, if it was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't do me any favors. I'm not interested in any of your karbanis that are supposed to be offered l'reach nechayach. The one exception to the rule would be Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach never says reach nechayach, so that wouldn't pose a problem. There's another problem though. The only way we're going to bring a Korban Pesach, there's a Mishnah in the middle of Menachos that says, when you build a new Mizbeach, and you endow it with Kedusha, you have to be Mechanach the Mizbeach. How are you Mechanach the Mizbeach? So the Mishnah says, Ein Mechanchanes HaMizbeach, Ela B'tomet Shel Shachar. The way you complete the Kedusha of the Mizbeach is by starting from the beginning, you have to bring a Korban Tomet Shel Shachar. So what do you mean? The Rav Chananel was only planning to make a Mizbech and to bring a Korban Pesach. But the Mizbech wouldn't have a Kedushas Mizbech. You have to be Mechanach. You're supposed to be Mechanach with the Tomet Shal Shachar. You tell me they're not going to bring a Tomet because the Tomet is L'Reach Nichoyach. And it says, V'loi Ariach B'Reach Nichoychachem. So this is a kasha that the Birkei Yosef already points out. Birkei Yosef was one of the many Svarim written by the Chidor, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azuloi. He was a Meshulach who collected, he traveled all over Europe collecting money for yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. And when he traveled all over, he always would visit, wherever there would be a library, he would visit the library and would look at all the Kisrei Yad. And he was a quick writer, so whenever he would find a Meiri, a Ksav Yad, or some other Ksav Yad of Erishin, he found something that wasn't known in the Olam HaTorah, so he would copy it down. And he put out something like 85 Svarim. You have to have a separate bookcase just for his svarim. I don't know how long he lived, but they say he put out the number of svarim corresponding to the number of years that he lived. And it's not little pamphlets. Each sefer is, a lot of the svarim are encyclopedic, and they go al pi aleph base. That was when the Jews started to put out alphabetically arranged encyclopedias. So he was one of the first. The Yad Malachi was a contemporary of his. There were others also putting out the alphabetically arranged svar. So he put out several encyclopedias. Encyclopedia of Midrash HaTorah Nedrash Hashem, an encyclopedia of Agadah, an encyclopedia of Kabbalah, all kinds of different things. Not little svar. So one of his many svarim is the Birkei Yosef, which is a likut of tshuvas and briefly written on Shulchan Aruch, on Aruch Chaim, on Yerideh, a little bit on Chosha Mishpat also. So in Hilchas Pesach, in Hilchas Erev Pesach, he quotes this kasha from earlier Poskim. How could it be that the Rabbeinu Chananel from Paris was thinking of possibly building a Mizbeach and bringing a Korban Pesach, but Eim Chanchlan HaMizbeach Elo B'Tomit Shel Shachar? If you say you're not going to bring a Tomei Shel Shachar, so it doesn't get off the ground. So the Chidos suggests maybe that Mishnah, that you have to be Mechanach, the Mizbech, with Tomei Shel Shachar, maybe that's only L'chatchila, maybe it's not Miyakeh B'Diyeved. That's a big Chiddush, that the Mishnah is not Miyakeh B'Diyeved. It could be that there's another Teretz on that Kasha. The same Mishnah says when you make a new Menorah, a Mechanach HaMenorah, Ela B'Hadlok HaBein HaRabayim. The Rambam's opinion is that the menorah was lit twice a day in the Beis HaMikdash, once in the morning and once at night. The other Rishonim disagree. The Rashba has a tshuva where he disagrees with the whole Rambam. The Rambam holds that they lit the menorah twice a day. So why is Eimachan Chanas HaMenorah Ela Bahadloka Bein HaBayim? The answer is you have to begin from the beginning. So by Tamidim, the Tomei Shel Shachar starts off the Avodah. All Korbanos have to be brought in between Tomei Shel Shachar and Tomei Shel Bein HaBayim. You're not allowed to bring a carbon before Tamash al Shachar, you're not allowed to bring a carbon after Tamash al Bein Abayim. That's called Essay de Hashlama. It says in the Siddur, Aleh Hashlaim Kala Karbonis Kulam. That's known as the Essay de Hashlama. All carbonis should be brought, sandwiched in between Tamash al Shachar and Tamash al Bein Abayim. The one and only exception to the rule is Karbon Pesach. The Mishnah says Karbon Pesach was always brought after Tamash al Bein Abayim, the Dafke after. So maybe the nature of the Dinei Mechanchen, and then it says, in the Hechel there was a Mizbech HaKtoris. Toris was brought twice a day, Machtzisa Babayk and Machtzisa Beinu Abayim. So it says also, Eimachanchen es Mizbech HaKtoris Ela B'Ktoris Shel Shachar. Whenever you have a Klishoris in the Beis HaMikdash, Mizbech HaPnimim, Mizbech HaChitzon, the Shulchan, Eimachanchen es HaShulchan Ela B'Lechem HaPonim on Shabbos. You can't make a Shulchan in the middle of the week and be Mechanach in the middle of the week. You have to start from the beginning. Each clue, you have to start from the beginning. So by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the beginning normally is Tomei Shel Shachar, because all the Korbanos have to be brought in a Seder in between Tomei Shel Shachar, Tomei Shel Bein Abayim, with the exception of Korban Pesach, which has its own Seder. Korban Pesach is B'davka brought after Tomei Shel Bein Abayim. So maybe the Mishnah that says in Menachos, Eim Chanchon Asa Mizbeach, Ela B'Tomei Shel Shachar, only goes if you Mechanach the Mizbeach any one of the other 353 days of the year. But once a year, on Erev Pesach, if you build a Mizbech on Erev Pesach, you can be Mechanach the Mizbech with the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach is a system unto its own. V'haraya, it's not brought in between Tomei Shel Shachar and Tomei Shel Bein Abayim. It has its own system, but Dafke not brought before the Tomei Shel Bein Abayim. So maybe that's the one exception to the rule. But this is the kasha that the Chidor quotes. He quotes it earlier, Poskim et Akasha. How could Rav Chananel have considered the possibility of bringing a Korban Pesach and not considering the possibility of bringing any other Korbanos? What happened to the din of Eim Chanchan Asa Mizbech Ela B'Tomei Shel Shachar? There is another issue. There is such a thing that's there's a Korban Mincha. There are Korbanos from the Amos, there are Korbanos from the Neufis, then the Korbanos that they bring from flour, that's called the Korban Mincha. So there is such a mincha that's called a minchas chinuch. We know that there's such a sefer called the minchas chinuch, but the minchas chinuch was a korban. What is the minchas chinuch all about? A kohen who comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the first time in his life he's interested in bringing, being makriv korbanos, they're kohanim who live in America, they're not going to go to be makriv korbanos in Eretz Yisrael. They have their parnasa here, they're not going to go. But a kohen who comes to the Beis HaMikdash wants to have a chance to be makriv korbanos, and the din requires has to bring a minchas chinuch to be mechanach himself as a kohen first. What's the din if a kohen was makor karbonis and he didn't bring a minchas chinuch in advance? So would his karbonis that he brings, would they be kosher b'di'evet or not? So the topic is discussed by the Sifra on the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra on minchas chinuch. And there are two girsas in the Sifra. The Rishonim have two girsas. The Mishnah Lamelech talks about the topic. So half of the Rishonim claim that if a Kohen will be makor karbonis without previously having brought his minchas chinuch, all of the karbonis that he's makor will be posel. So this is already a problem. Everybody today is tamei to begin with. So they had to bring karbonis in a state of tumah because we're not going to bring karbonis ein zmanim kavua. We're going to bring karbonis ein zmanim kavua as a deicha tumah. Yeah, but before any kohen wants to be allowed to bring karbonis, he has to bring a minchas chinuch. Minchas chinuch has no zman kavua. You can bring it today, tomorrow, next week, the month after. There is no zman kavua to that. So in the state of tumah, you can't bring that karbon. So you don't get off the ground. The whole story doesn't get off the ground. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the one page that he has at the end of his Chelek Yeridaya, writes, yeah, it's a discussion in Rishonim whether a kohen who does Avoida, without first having brought the Minchas Chinuch, whether it's kosher b'dieved or not, but he says, half of the one girsa is incorrect. He has a beferish right from the Gemara that b'dieved would be kosher. Okay, that the Minchas Chinuch is not miyakev. So it's not miyakev, so you don't have to worry about that. If it's possible to bring the Minchas Chinuch, you bring. It's impossible because everybody's tamei. So you bring the Korban Pesach without a Minchas Chinuch. There's another issue. The Kohanim can only be makor karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash if they're wearing Big Day Kohuna. If they're not going to wear Big Day Kohuna, then the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk Bizman Shein Big Day Maleim Ein Kohunosam Maleim. They don't have the Kedushas Kohunish of HaMikdash, and all the karbonis will be possible. Part of the Big Day Kohuna, part of wearing Big Day Kohuna, you have to know what they look like. So they're a major machlokes in the Rambam and the Rabbah about what the Big Day Kohuna look like. Long turban, the Rambam said 32 amas long, and the Rabbah says he never heard of such a thing. So the major question, so how are you going to make the Big Day Kohuna? There's a further problem. Even if you hold the shape of the Big Day Kohuna is not miyakev, because in the Chumash and the Gemara never discusses the shape, what it's supposed to look like, but the Big Day Kohuna have to have trelas. So we don't know exactly, for many years, it was unknown exactly what the trelas is, that the chalazon was lost. So that's a big problem. So in the Tiferes Yisrael, was also Rav in Germany, he was a holy tzaddik. He used to sit all day, he used to go to mikveh in the morning, and then he used to sit all day long with talis and tefillin and write his commentary on the Mishnayos. People call him an apikoros, because he was a little modern. He thinks that today you don't need mitzitza, period. You do a bismillah. Not only don't you need mitzitza b'peh, he says the whole purpose of mitzitza is to prevent infections. So he says today that we have antiseptics. So what do you need mitzitza for? What are you mutilating the kid for? What are you doing chavolah shalotah? So they came down on him. They decided the poor man was an apikoros. So given a halig at tzaddik. He was also a talmid of Rabbi Kiveg. He lived at that time, he also. And he has a lot of correspondence with Rabbi Kiveg included in his commentary on the Mishnayos. The two sides to the Teres Yisrael, he has the commentary on the Mishnah, then he has the Yochanan Boyos, so then he has the tiny letters, every so often, every 20, 30 pages, he has a correspondence with Rabbi Kiveg, Moriv Rabbi, Rabbi Kiveg. So in the big Mishnayos that has the Pirush of the Teres Yisrael, in the section on Moed, has a long kuntris on the Melachos of Shabbos, and then he has also, next to that, he has all contrasts on Big Day Kohuna. Why he chose to write in Big Day Kohuna, I don't know. So he has a suggestion. He says that maybe the requirement that the trelis has to be a certain color, a blue, has to be the same color as indigo. Indigo is blue, but it comes from a vegetable. How do we know that trelis is the same color as indigo? Because the Gemara says that in the days of the Tanaim, there were dishonest merchants who would claim that they're selling trelis, and they were really selling elon, and it was the same color, there was no way to tell the difference between the two. And they were punished min hashamayim, because they were fooling the public. They were selling impossible trelis. So what is kolo elon? So the Oruch is a dictionary that's written, the Oruch was a contemporary of Rashi, and the Oruch writes on the word Kla'ilon, he writes indigo. So that's how we know what color the Trelis is. It's a question, Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says Trelis is the color of the sky at midnight. Trelis is Loshen Tichla, death to the Mitzrayim. Trelis is supposed to represent the Makas Becharis, which occurred at midnight, at Chatzos Alayla. The Rambam writes, not like Rashi, Rambam writes that Tchelis is the color of the sky in the afternoon, a light blue. That's the question, it's supposed to be light blue or very, very, very dark blue. So whatever, the Gemara says that Tchelis has to be dafka from a chalozin, from a certain sea animal, and if it's not from the chalozin, it's no good. So the Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnah is Moed, in his whole section on Big Dekuna, has a fantastic suggestion. He wants to say that maybe the chalazin is only needed for tchelis for tzitzit, but tchelis for big dekuna, maybe you don't need chalazin. His opinion was not accepted in the later generations. They assumed that he's not right. He wanted to make the yukim from the Rambam, because the Rambam only writes chalazin in Hilchas Tzitzis, he never writes it in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. The Pashtus says that it's not so. It's interesting, historically, in the late 1800s, there was a Chassidish Rebbe, the Radzino Rebbe, who traveled specially, he lived in Poland, in Radzin. He traveled specially to Italy because he heard there was a gigantic aquarium there, the biggest aquarium in the world at the time, in order to study all of the different sea animals to determine which one is the chalazon. What was he so interested for? Because he was interested in reinstituting korbanos. He wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash and to bring korbanos. No, a kohen can't bring korbanos unless they're wearing big tikkunah. Big tikkunah have to have tchelas. He was interested in the tchelas, not so much for the tzitzis. We can survive, we have tzitzis with lavan. So we yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. He was angling for the tchelas to use in the big dekunas. So he assumed, not like the Tiferes Yisrael, he assumed it has to be dafka chalazon. And he thought that he identified what the correct chalazon was. In Europe before the war, there were tens of thousands of chassidim who were wearing tchelas, not only Radzina chassidim, other chassidim also, many tzaddikim. Followed the suggestion of the Radzina Rebbe, that he thought that he had found tchelas. In later years, after the Nazis bombed the factory, the Nazis killed the man who ran the tchelas factory in Radzin, and they destroyed the whole factory. And there was no one alive after the war who knew exactly what the system was, how they made tchelas. The only living person who knew was Rav Herzog. Because when Rav Herzog was in university in Ireland, his first Rabbanus was in Ireland. So when he was in university in Ireland, his doctoral dissertation was on tchelas. I don't know why they were interested in accepting it, but that's what it was. That was his doctoral dissertation. So he had corresponded with the Chassidish Yid in Radzin, who ran the factory, who was later killed by the Nazis. And after the war, he corresponded with many other people, Jews and non-Jews alike, many people. He put everything into his dissertation, which was printed later in Hebrew. Now it's available in Hebrew. So after the war was over, the Radzina Hasidim, who survived the war, wanted to rebuild the factory in Eretz Yisrael. So the only person alive who knew what the recipe was, how they made the tchelas, was Rabbi Herzog. So they listened to him, but they didn't listen to everything that he said, because he claimed that the Rebbe made a mistake. He said that the Rebbe thought that the squid fish is the chalazon, because it spits out the black dye. So he thought that that's the tchelas, the black dye. But every time he took the dye from the squid fish, and he took wool, raw wool, to dye it, so it wouldn't absorb the dye. So the Rebbe put an advertisement in the Italian newspapers, he's prepared to pay money to a chemist, he needs someone to help him. So some character, a goyish, a chemist, came. And he said, what's the problem? So he explained to him what the problem is. He wants it to be this color in it, and the wool doesn't take it. He needs a chemical that's going to cause it to be absorbed. So the goy said, no problem, and he gave him a chemical. That chemical happened to be Prussian blue. So the chemical is what, that's Rav Herzog says, the chemical is what causes the color, not the dye from the fish. And they tested it chemically. There are ways to test chemically. The Radzina Tchelis, if you'll test it, so you'll come to the realization that it has nothing from any live animals in it, because all of the dye that came from the squid fish gets washed out, and the only thing that's remaining is the Prussian blue. So the whole thing is in Gansen effect. So that's what Rav Herzog said. So the Radzina Chassidim did Pagina Dibura. They accepted what he said, what the recipe was, how they made it in Radzin. And then he said that the whole thing is a mistake. So they said, we don't accept that. The Rebbe didn't make a mistake. So there are different opinions what the tchelis is supposed to be. So that's a sticky issue. So some rabbanim came up with this suggestion, and they said in the Gemara there's a machlokes, in the Mishnayos in the Gemara there's a machlokes hatanoim. Does it make sense what we do today? We wear tzitzis without any tchelis. So one Tana Rebbe is of the opinion Tcheles Ma'akeves Es Halavan. If you have tzitzis without Tcheles, so you're not yotze anything. So you may as well not put on tzitzis. He's saying a bracha levatola. You're not yotze anything. The Baal HaMo'or, Rabbeinu Zrachya Alevi, in his commentary on the Rif in Perek B'mem Adlikin, thinks that the din is like Rebbe. He passes Halacha that Tcheles is Ma'akeves Halavan. The Ramban writes there. And his Melchamas Hashem on next to the Baal HaMor, Sefer HaMor, he writes that we heard the Baal HaMor never wore a talis, consistent with his opinion. Was he going to wear a talis? It's going to be a bracha about talis, you don't accomplish anything. Most of the Rishonim have not accepted the view of Rebbe, the view of the Baal HaMor. Most Paskin that Tcheles is not Ma'akeves Es Halavan. That's why so many people wear it, that's why our practice is, he wears tzitzis today, even though you don't have any Tcheles. So some of the Gedolim said that just like Tcheles is not Mi'akevis as Halavan in Tzitzis, so Tcheles is not Mi'akev in the Migdik Kuhuna either. That it should be totally Zebizet. If you pass like Rebbe, Tcheles is Mi'akev in the Tzitzis, so Tcheles is Mi'akev in the Migdik Kuhuna. But we don't pass like Rebbe, we pass like the Chachamim. Rav Tzvi Hirsch, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank pointed out that this in his Sefer Migdash Melech, he pointed out that this is not correct. There's a Beferish of Tosefta Menachas that says that L'choladeus, that Tcheles is Ma'akev in the Big Dikun. That if you don't put Tcheles, it's possible. And this Sefer Kindness on his Be'ach by Sova's great-grandfather, he said this is one of the issues that the Chofetz Chaim raised. How can we possibly bring Karbonis to his man as if we don't know what the Tcheles is? So he has a wild suggestion, sounds to me wild. He claims that he's proving that it's so. He says, if you put in our garment, it's also good. You need a color, but it doesn't have to be tchelus, it can be a different color. Whee! How can it be our garment? I don't know, that's what he said. Then the Chofetz Chaim raised another issue. This is on page 15 in this edition. Chofetz Chaim raised another issue. The Gemara in Yuma, Davav, Dav Zayin, has a whole sugya. It starts off as a machlokes Amoraim, and then the Gemara shows it's a machlokes Atanoim. And the Amoraim just had a machlokes, which Tana's opinion to accept. Machlokes was, what's the heter that if you have a korban tzibush, as manokavua, you're permitted to bring it in a state of tumah? Do we say tumah hucho b'tzibur, it's heter gomor, or do we say tumah d'chuy b'tzibur? B'koshi hitira ha-toyra. What's the difference whether Tumah Hutra had the Gomer or Duchuya because she hitira HaTorah? So the Gemara says the following. It's not clear what the difference is. The Gemara says the following, Nafkimina Lahalacha. The Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaras. And every Mishmar, so every week there would be a different group of families who had the schus to be Makar Karbanis and the Beis HaMikdash. If they wouldn't have it divided into Mishmaras, so in the summertime, all the Kohanim would be sitting on the Riviera, they would all be in New York, whatever, no one would come. And in winter time, you would have a thousand Kohanim every hour. You'd have, it would be a hefke, it would be a balagan. So the Torah says you have to have a whole system. So as it turns out, originally there were fewer Mishmaras, as it turns out, and by Shane there were 24 Mishmaras. Every Mishmar was divided into six Batei Avos. So Sunday there was one Beis Av, 1/6 of the Mishmar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Shabbos, all the Batei Avos were makriv together. That's how Rashi writes on the Gemara. There were six Batei Avos. So let's say all today is Wednesday, we want to bring Karbonis. All the Kohanim in today's Beis Av are all Tomei. Someone died in the family, a very close relative, and everybody had to go to the funeral. And everybody's Tomei. So if you hope, but to meet him, the Korban Tomei that you bring is Mutter to bring in a state of Tumah. So would you say, Mutter? It's a Korban Shezman HaKavus, Mutter, so let the Kohanim bring it. But he say, no, get a coin from tomorrow's Beis Av, or from yesterday's Beis Av. It's not Mi'akev b'di'evit, if a coin from a different Beis Av will bring, it's his Mishmar. So the Gemara says, if you hold Hutre Heta Gomor, so you let the Kohanim from today's Beis Av be Makriv in the state of Tumah. But if you hold that the Korbanis Sibur, that is Manam Kavua, that are brought in the state of Tumah, are only Dechuya, because he Tira HaTaira, so if you can avoid it, you should really try to avoid it. Then the Gemara has a few more Nafkaminas. That's the first Nafkamina the Gemara has. Would you recommend that Kohanim from a different Beis Av should be Makar of the Karbonis rather than the Kohanim from today's Beis Av are all Tomei or not? Then the Gemara has another Nafkamina, very unclear. The Pasuk says in Chumash, that the Kohen Gadol has Shmeina B'Gadim. The Kohen Hedi wears Arba B'Gadim, a uniform that consists of four pieces of clothing, and the Kohen Gadol wears Shmeina B'Gadim. One of the Shmeina B'Gadim is the Tzitz. What is the role of the Tzitz? So it says, the Kohen Gadol, V'nas Aharon is Abayin HaKadoshim, that when Aharon HaKohen, or the Kohen Gadol after him, wears the Tzitz, this is Machshir Karbonos that are brought in a state of Tumah. If you have any other psul, if a zar will be marked with the karbanis, or any other psul in karbanis, puzzle is puzzle. The one and only, the Gemara learns that from psukim. How do you know that this is true? Because it's not explicit in the Chumash. But after the Gemara works it out, so that's the pshat in the Chumash. The only one psul that depends whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, that's how we paskin. Hoy al mitzchah tamid l'rotzon hem lefnei Hashem. Bizmanshu al mitzchah is meratzeh. Meratzeh means the karbonos that are brought in the state of tumah will be acceptable if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. That's a machlokes hatanoim. Is the tzitz meratzeh? Is the tzitz machshir the karbonos that are brought in the state of tumah, even if it's just sitting in a box? The Kohen Gadol is sleeping. He's not being makriv. He's not wearing his big day kuna today. Or no, we paskin no. It's only meratzeh. The tzitz is only meratzeh. Odei al mitzchah meratzeh. So the Gemara wants to know, which karbanos do you need tzitz to be meratzeh? What if you're bringing a karban tzibush as manakavua in the state of tumah? So the Gemara says, do you need that the kain should be wearing a tzitz? So the Gemara says, it depends whether you hold tumah hutru b'tzibur or tchui b'tzibur. If you hold tumah hutru b'tzibur, hetha gomur, the whole din of bringing karbanos b'tumah was never formulated with respect to karban tzibur. So then you don't need... You only need a tzitz to be meratzeh if someone by mistake brought a karban yochid, the tumah. So if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, the karban yochid will be kosher. It'll be meratzeh. V'nir tzaloi. If the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, it won't be kosher. But a karban tzibur, the whole din of bringing betumah was never formulated. So it's had to go, you don't need a tzitz to be meratzeh. But if you hold the way we paskin, the Rambam paskin, that tumah is not hutru betzibur, it's rather the chuyah means the kosher, hitira hatoira. So then, it'll only be kosher, the carbon will only be kosher, the carbon sibo will only be kosher when it's brought in a state of tumah, if you have a Kohen Gadol who's wearing a tzitz. So that's one of the six issues that the Chavetz Chaim brought up. We paskin tumah d'chuyah b'tzibur. So you can't just build a mizbeach and get a kohen to be makar kabanus on the mizbeach. You have to, even if it's going to be a carbon sibur, you have to make sure that you have a Kohen Gadol who's wearing a tzitz. So you have to go pick a Kohen Gadol. So the question of who appoints the Kohen Gadol? So the Rishalmi has an expression, there's a Mishnah that talks about firing a Kohen Gadol. Mishnah is, in today's Seder it says, if a private person is Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, has to bring a Chatas, he brings a Kizba or a Sira. If the Kohen Gadol is Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, has to bring a Par Kohen Gadol, Par Kohen Mashiach. Par Kohen Mashiach means he had Mashiach B'Shem Na Mishnah to make him into a Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah in Horius discusses what's the din if the Kohen Gadol was Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg when he was Kohen Gadol. He didn't have a chance to bring the korban Par Kohen Mashiach until after he already was fired from his job. He's no longer Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos wants to know who fired him. So Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, he's Mismana B'Peh, he's Mistalek B'Peh. Whoever had the right to appoint him in the first place has the right to terminate his status. When he retires, he's still a Kohen Gadol, but if he was fired, then he's always Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos is not sure, Mismana B'peh Ayidei Hum, who appoints the Kohen Gadol in the first place? And they're not sure whether the Sanhedrin or Echav HaKohanim. The Rambam quotes a Tosef, the Sanhedrin asked him. So that's a question. In order to be makriv any karbanis, today everybody's in the state of Tumah. So you can only bring karbanis Sibur to begin with, the Mutah B'Tumah. So you have to have a Kohen Gadol wearing, so you're going to have to appoint a Kohen Gadol and you have to wear a tzitz also. So we just have additional problems.
Hey, isn't the longest of the Gemara that since it's the chuyah of the tzibur, you have to do everything that you can to make it less of a problem? So if you don't have a tzitz, then you don't have the tzitz.
We're not sure exactly what does it depend on. So it's famous from Rabbi Tzale Panavizha. There's a little sefer Zeche Yitzchak. Now the former chief rabbi of Herzl, Rabbi Avram Shapiro, Zechan Baruch, who was the Rosh Yeshiva Americas, he put out, Zecha Yitzchak is now three times as fat as it used to be. It used to be a skinny little sefer. He put out with his he'oris on the Zecha Yitzchak. But originally, when it was printed, it's a skinny little sefer. They have Shuvas by Rabbi Tzal Ponevizh, Rabbi Tzal Rabinowitz, and they have brief Chidush HaTorah. He thinks that the pshat is like this. If Yal Tuma is the Chuya B'tzibur, so Deuche is like Ese Deuche Loi Sesi. The mitzvah of Hakrovas Karbonis, Tzibur can be Deuche the Avera of Hakrova B'tuma, but it can't be Maksha the Karbon. A is Deuche, B means this mitzvah is Deuche that Avera. So you're allowed to violate the Avera. But the two dinim in Tuma, there's one din, there's an Avera to be Makar Karbonis in the state of Tuma, and then there's a Psul, a Karbon that's offered in the state of Tuma is Pasal. So if Yal Tuma Hutra B'tziba had to go, means that the whole din of Hakrovas Karbonis B'tuma was never formulated in connection with a Karbon Tziba. Period, never formulated, so neither din applies. Neither the Isa nor the Psul. But if Yal Tuma D'chuyah B'tzibur means a din, the dinam of Hakrovas Karbonis B'tuma apply even to Karbonis Tziba. The only thing is that the mitzvah sesei, the tzorach to fulfill the mitzvah sesei of Karbonis Tziba is doichel yaveire, of bringing karbanos in the state of tumah. So dechad avera from today till tomorrow, but it's still bustle. How does it become kosher? So then the Gemara says you need tzitz to be meratzah. So that's going to be a problem. You're going to have a kohen gadol. You're going to have to make a tzitz. Question of who appoints the kohen gadol. So that the Chafetz Chaim considered this a major problem, and this Rabbi Sova felt that he solved the problem. That's the structure of this little book. He starts off with the six issues that were brought up by the Chafetz Chaim that are blocking us from bringing Karbanos today. He tries to smooth over all the six issues to solve all the problems. There are quite a few additional issues that they bring up, very fascinating. And every generation, everyone threw in another monkey wrench to raise additional issues about the possibility. But the literature is very fascinating. That they had such an einfall. Rabbi Akiva Eiger used to correspond with his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was brought up in Frankfurt. So Chassam Sofer knew the Rothschild family from Frankfurt. Then he lived in Hungary later on. First he lived in Germany, then he moved to Hungary. He never came back. That's some interesting. His mother, he never came to visit his mother. His father died years before. Never came to visit his mother. So one of the tshuvas he writes why he never visited his mother. From the day he was bar mitzvah, he never missed tefillah v'tzibur. Shachris mincha ma'ariv musaf. He never missed tefillah v'tzibur. So if he would go back to visit his mother, it would cost him a fortune. He would have to take a minion of people with him because he didn't want to miss tefillah v'tzibur. So that's why he never saw his mother. Midas chasidus. So Rabbi Kiveger sent a letter at one point to his son-in-law, Chassam Sofer. He, as a child, was friendly with the Rothschild family, and Rothschild was a banker and used to lend money to all the kings of the world. So maybe Chassam Sofer can impress upon Rothschild that Rothschild should insist that the Arabs who were in charge of the Mokam Amigdo should give us permission to bring a Korban Pesach. Because he was concerned, we're not, maybe we'll have Karis, if there's a possibility. He was really concerned, this is possible. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalish's suggestion in Drisha Sin, he took it seriously. So he said, we should really try to negotiate with the Mufti, whoever was in charge over there, the Harabais, he should let us bring Karbon. So the Chassam Sofer sent it back a letter, my dear father-in-law, you don't know what you're talking about. The Mufti won't let any Jew walk on the Harabais at all. There's nothing to discuss. We shouldn't waste our breath. He's such a Rosh Merusha. So it's interesting, the whole historical background, in addition to the halachic discussion, is also very fascinating. Okay, we hope soon, Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt and we'll bring Karbanos.
We need to experience that.